Savior. And what a Savior He is. You can go ahead and turn to the book of Joel. The book of Joel. If you're a Jew, you can say Joel. But the book of Joel, and I'm going to be in chapter 2. Just to make sure we're clear also, we won't be actually having a baptism at the end. Xander heard if anybody was recently saved, and he jumped up, which is good. He is recently saved. But he's not going to be getting baptized today, just an update on that. But we're going to be in the book of Joel chapter 2. And we're going to be looking... I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read verse 1 for now, and then we'll go from there. But this is a time of prophecy where he's going through and he's actually telling the Israelites, he's telling these Hebrews that there is coming an army. God has prepared an army, and it's a great army, and it's coming, and it's going to devastate everything before it. And he's doing this as a part of judgment for their sin. This is what's happening. And so this is a prophecy of great judgment because of the sin that they were in. And it talks about the terrible day of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be more after it, even to the years of many generations." And it keeps going, but we're going to stop there right now. We're just going to bow for a word of prayer really quick. Dear Father, we do thank you for all the love that you have shown us. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that you became a man, Lord God. You manifested yourself in the flesh, and then, Lord, out of everything, you went to the death and death of a cross. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for this. We're thankful, Lord, that you rose again the third day, and you have power over death, and you have been victorious. And now, Lord, you want to save souls, and you offer a transformation in our lives. Lord Jesus, we do ask that you bless us today and guide us. Lord, we ask for those that have lost family members and relatives in the recent things that have happened around our nation. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless them, and I pray, Lord, that they would above all seek you in these moments. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this is a very strong prophecy. This is a dark prophecy, right? He talks about how bad it's going to be for them. He's pronounced judgment upon the land. And he talks about the darkness and the gloominess of this day. It's going to be a day where God is going to bring judgment upon them because of their sin. Now, I believe in many prophecies, they have a early fulfillment, and then they have a later fulfillment. And I don't think this one's any different. Many prophecies have a fulfillment that comes really close by, near at hand, like it did in this one. This one actually happened. I don't know if it's referring to the Assyrian attack, or if it's referring to the Babylonian one. I believe it's the Babylonian one would be my mind. But whatever it is, it happened. I mean, the Babylonians came, and like it says in verse 3, "A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them it's a desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them." He's saying, look, as they're walking, you know, everything's beautiful before them, and when they come over it, they leave it desolate like a wilderness. I mean, this was a great army that the Lord had prepared for that. And he calls it the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is visitation, and he brought judgment upon them because of their sin. But I think also you read this and there's a later fulfillment gonna come, right? This isn't just for that time. This has been fulfilled before, but it's also speaking of a later date that's gonna have the same type of impact, the same type of thing. And the day of the Lord is coming when he is going to come back and he is going to take vengeance, and there is going to be judgment given.
Yeah,
and there's going to be judgment because of sin. Christ is going to return in power, and he's going to defeat his enemies.
Amen.
This is a real day. A real day of the Lord is going to come. And the truth is, what we see here is that all this happened because of their sin. They were in their sin. They were living in sin, and many generations they were living in sin, and they did not want to repent. They did not want to return to the Lord. And finally, the Lord says, okay, then I'm raising up an army that's going to devour y'all. And you read other books like Habakkuk and his prophecy, and he's thinking, Lord, how can you do this? How can you raise up an evil society, an evil nation that's going to devour us? And God is basically saying, don't worry about it. I'll judge them too in due time. But right now, because of your sin, y'all are getting judgment. And I think just reading this, I want to look at the reaction that God expects. I want to talk about the proper response to judgment, because I don't think it changes. What God expected from them when he pronounced judgment is what God expects from us when he pronounces judgment. Now, just thinking about this, I think we should believe that it's a great privilege that we have a God who cares enough to announce judgment.
Amen.
We should see this as a great merciful thing, that God not only, yes, his character, he's a just judge that is going to judge the sins of the world, but he doesn't do it without a warning of judgment. He actually sends people before him saying, hey, judgment is coming. And he offers a way of salvation, which is an amazing thing. But judgment is coming. That's got to be something you mark down as for sure. And the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment.
Yeah.
This is something you can't escape. Not one of us is going to escape this. Jesus is going to judge you.
Yeah. Amen.
And the biggest problem you have in your life is sin.
Amen.
I know sometimes we don't see that. We don't think that. We're just so worried about our financial status, right? I mean, we're so worried about not having money in the bank. We're checking it every hour to see if it's still there. We're worried about all these other things. We the economy. But the economy is not your biggest problem. Sin is your biggest problem. Because sin is what's causing judgment to come down upon you from God. The carnal mind is enmity with God. And that's your biggest enemy. Your biggest enemy is sin. Oh, we care so much about health, right? We're worried about health. And listen, it's not wrong to worry about the economy. It's not wrong to be worried about health. Yes, these are some things to be worried about. But guess what? They are not the biggest problems in your life.
Amen.
And it's a problem whenever we start worrying so much about our health that we're willing to spend an hour or two in the gym every day, but we don't take 5 minutes to read the Word of God.
Amen.
Because we're just not concerned about sin. We don't see it as that big of a deal.
Amen.
But sin is the biggest problem that you have.
Amen.
And we're willing to neglect God sometimes in order to make wealth. We're willing to neglect God in order to get health. But we haven't just realized that sin is the true problem that we have. The greatest problem we have is sin. And so God does tell us. He sends messengers to tell us of his coming judgment. And he warns us. But he's expecting that whenever he sends out his warning, there would be a proper response to that. And God actually tells us what he wants the response to be right here in Joel chapter 2. So I'm going to read verse 12, and I want to talk about the proper response to the judgment of God. And this is repentance. This is what God wants. God wants us to repent and come to him. He says in verse 12, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, who repenteth him of the evil. You see, the reaction God expects is not different than what he expected when he pronounced judgment upon them. He wants you to have the same reaction. He wants you to feel the same way. And this is the proper response to judgment. So first of all, I want to talk about the proper response to judgment is that we should be alarmed. The proper response is this should be alarming. Whenever God actually is saying to you, listen, I am going to judge you. I am going to come and take vengeance upon all those that are my enemies. This should be alarming to you. He says in verse 1, he says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. You know, this should shake you. It should wake you up. Amen. If God is saying, I'm against you, that should wake you up.
Amen.
The truth is, I think a lot of people have been maybe blinded by the thought that we're all actually in good stance with God. It's all okay. You know, and I think that's some way of comforting that, you know, you just don't have to worry about anything. And that sounds like a nice message, but the truth is when you read the Word of God, it will tell you where you're wrong. And it'll show you where your sin is. And it'll show you that we have a God that is holy and His character is to judge justly. Amen. And if you're sin and you're guilty, then you know what that means. That means you're an enemy of God. And when you realize this, this should be alarming. This should be something that terrifies you. You are not in good standing with God. He is going to judge you for your sin. This is the truth. And this is a sobering thought that you're not on God's side. But that's the truth about sin. Sin puts you on the wrong side of God. Sin puts you on the wrong side of God. And so whenever God tells you of His judgment, which is a mercy, whenever God warns you, as He did in the days of Noah, He warned that judgment was coming. As He did with Sodom and Gomorrah, He went and told them that judgment was coming. As He did with Jesus Christ, He came preaching repentance. He told us what's coming. Today, you are hearing the message. You are going to be judged for your sins.
Amen.
Jesus is coming.
Yeah. Amen.
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 And if you're a sinner, if you're guilty, then this should be alarming to you.
Amen.
This shouldn't be something that you just ignore. Shouldn't be something that you just put off. This should be something that causes you to fear. As he talks about here, tremble. The land should tremble. The Lord's coming. His hand is nigh. Oh, actually he ends in verse 11. He ends in verse 11, this portion. He says, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? That's how horrible it is. That's how bad it is. You cannot defend yourself. There's nothing you can do. You gonna stand against God? You have no chance of survival. With this message, I believe not only should you be alarmed, but you should be moved to act. This should bring urgency, right? The proper response brings urgency. He says in verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord. He says, therefore saith now, right now, it's time to move, it's time to act. You need to do it now. Turn ye even to me with all your heart. This is an urgent matter. This is an urgent matter. Are you truly concerned about your sin? Then it's something you need to act upon right now. Why wait? Many times I think we take judgment or we take God's judgment. We think of it as just, you know, like we do in school with the tests and the final exams or, right? We act like whatever, we do whatever we want during school hours. We do whatever we want at home. We're not really concerned about homework. But the day before the test, oh, we're studying up. We're cramming it all in because the test is coming. And sometimes that's how we treat God. We think, oh yeah, judgment, it'll come. But you know what? I can take care of that later. I'll put that off. Maybe later on. I'll live my life right now. Leave me alone. And then one day, I'll get right with God then. That's not how you should look at it. This is an urgent matter. This is something God is telling you, hey, I'm coming, judgment is coming, and it's urgent, you need to take care of it. Yes. Now there's a few reasons why it's really urgent. Not just because of the immensity of it, not just because of how big it is, not just because of that, but also because you don't know when your last breath is gonna be.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're gonna wake up tomorrow morning. So today is the day of salvation. And it's urgent because you don't know when the Lord is coming back. The Lord could come back at any moment. And once He comes back, what are you going to do? You don't have any chance after that. So, it's urgent. It's an urgent matter that you should be concerned with. He's asking you to stop running away. Notice that He says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Turn.
Amen.
Turn. It's funny how, why is it that we're running from God? Shouldn't it be the opposite? Shouldn't we all be just running to God? But the fact is, we, in our sin, are running from God. And He calls out, and He says, this is an urgent matter. This should be alarming. You're running from me, and you should be running to me.
Yeah, amen.
So now is the time to act. Now is the time to act. And I think that's also an amazing thing. A beautiful thing. He says, turn now. Now. A lot of people think they can't come to God. They can't come to God until they clean up their act. You can't come to God until you've done this and that. Until you've got all the things right. Line them all up. You have to get better. You have to be a good person before you get to come to God. You cannot approach God until such and such. That's not what God says. Yes, you're in sin, you're in rebellion, and in the middle of your rebellion, He says, turn.
Yeah.
Just turn.
Amen.
Now.
Yeah, amen.
No matter how far you've gone, no matter how far you've gotten from God, He says now.
Yes.
Right now you can turn in the middle of your rebellion.
Amen.
And you know what? He wants you to come in sincerity. He says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. With all your heart. This, you know, playing church stuff isn't gonna work.
Right.
When we just try to fit in or do what we think is expected of us or actually, you know, put on a show, put on an appearance, we want at least just people to think we're looking for God or we're fine with God. That's not gonna cut it.
Right. Amen.
God, because the difference between God and man is that God can see your heart. Oh, you may be able to fool everybody else. You might be able to fool everybody in this room. But God actually sees your heart.
Amen.
And that's what you should be worried about.
Right.
And He says, turn to me with all your heart.
Amen.
Verse 13 actually says, rend your heart, not your garments. Because that's what they would do. Right? Oh, and they would rend their garments. They would rip up their shirts. And God says, look, I'm not looking for you to put on a show. I'm not looking for you to do something outwardly that is fake. I want you to actually rend your heart.
Yeah.
I want you to actually recognize how bad what you're doing is against me.
Amen.
And I want that to be affecting your heart.
Amen.
It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And He's wanting you to come to Him with all your heart.
Amen.
With all your heart. He says, and with fasting, there in verse 12, with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. You know the heart that God is looking for is a humble heart. David says, Lord, you don't want the sacrifice that I could offer. I mean, all these things that I think I can do and give you, that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for a contrite heart. You're looking for a heart that's humble before you, that recognizes his sin, and that recognizes you, And you know that humble response, that fasting, which shows a true dependence on God, right? Which shows the brokenness of a heart, weeping and mourning, true, real grief. You know, that's what God is looking for.
Amen.
That's what God wants. He wants you to be brokenhearted because of your sin.
Yeah, amen.
Your sin has separated you from God. Does that have no effect on your heart?
Amen.
Does that have no effect on what you're thinking, what you feel? It should.
Amen.
It should. It should bring you to be broken.
Amen.
And that's what we see in the life of David. He saw it and he understood it and he was broken about his sin. And it should be the same with each and every one of us. Our sin has truly been the biggest problem in our life.
Amen.
And it's separated us from God. And God just wants you to be broken about that. He wants your heart to be truly broken and fully turned to him.
Yeah.
Because of your sin. And that's what he calls for, right? Therefore now, saith the Lord, turn ye to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord. This is repentance. This is a change. This is the change that God wants to see in you. And this is the change that Jesus Christ came looking for. He says two men went up to pray.
Right.
The first one, he thought he was pretty good, and he's saying, "Oh Lord, I thank God that I'm not like all these other people. I'm not so bad of a sinner. I actually tithe. I actually do this. I do all these other things." He felt pretty good about himself and all that he had done. "I'm not even like this publican," he says. Jesus says, that's not the man that went justified.
Right.
He looked over at the publican, and the publican couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He simply bowed and said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner."
Amen.
He recognized his sin and had a contrite heart. And Jesus says, this man went justified.
Right.
This man went home justified before the other one. Why? Because God's looking for humility. That's the key Jesus brings and gives us. He tells us what it is. He says, those that exalt themselves, I'm going to humble. But those that humble themselves before me, he says, I'll exalt.
Wow.
I'll lift up.
Lord.
And we our heart wants to exalt ourselves to the point where we exalt ourselves against God.
Mm.
And God says, well, I'm going to bring you low. If that's the kind of heart you're going to have, if that's the kind of attitude you want to have, I will fix it. But if you'll just humble yourself and repent from your ways and recognize who you are, a sinner, you can come to Jesus and you can turn from your sin and he will accept you. A humble heart and he'll exalt you. That's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing because he wants you to come with this reaction, with this response. It's not only alarming and urgent. It's not only sincere and it's humble, but it's hopeful. Even here in this passage, so dark, he talks about hope. He says, turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Listen, this is the heart of God. He does not desire the death of the wicked. He's not just wanting and with so much desire trying to annihilate everybody. No, that's the wrong idea of our God. God truly is merciful.
Amen.
Yes, he's great in power, but he's gracious. And he's merciful, slow to anger. The fact that you're alive proves that he's slow to anger, by the way. Because every day you have breath shows that he's merciful.
Amen.
Every day. And he's slow to anger. And he's just waiting, hold on, he's having patience. And you know the dead saints, the martyrs in heaven, you know what they're crying? They're crying out, vengeance, Lord, take vengeance, when are you going to avenge us? And God is the one saying, not yet. Just wait a little longer. Why? Because he wants somebody to repent. He's not done. He wants more people to repent. But one day, the anger will come. He's slow to anger, but it doesn't mean he will never get angry. Anger will come. But right now, if you have breath, it's because he's slow to anger. And he's giving you a chance. And he wants you to repent. And he's calling you to repentance. And the great hope is that he is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And right now, with the judgment that you face, the final judgment, which is about upon your soul, and because of your sins, which will separate you from God for all eternity, he has an answer. He has a solution to that. Sin is a real issue. I don't think we consider it enough a real issue. I think we play around with it so much that we just don't think it's that big of a deal because it's all around us. But it really is a big deal. It's a real issue. It's a real problem, but it has a real solution.
Amen.
Your sin separates you from God. And God is a just God who, because of his character, has to deal with sin. He has to judge sin. And so what hope is there for us? Well, the hope is in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ satisfies the just character that God has. He satisfies it. Jesus took upon himself our sins. Upon his body, he took upon our sins.
Amen.
He is the solution to the sin problem that you have.
Amen.
And that's a transformative one. He is gracious, he is merciful, he is slow to anger, and he has provided a way to fix the problem that you find yourself in.
Amen.
And that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the answer. And Jesus Christ already did what it takes. Jesus Christ already is the solution. Now he's just waiting for you to come with the right response. He shows you his message, his gospel. He presents to you the good news, which the good news comes only because there's bad news. The bad news is you're going to be judged for your sin, and there's nothing you can do to take care of it. But the good news is that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life.
Amen.
And then he gave that life.
Amen.
Willingly gave that life and died so that you could be saved.
Amen.
So that he can apply his righteousness to your account so that God won't see you as guilty anymore. He'll see you as justified.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus Christ did that.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And he gives you that opportunity. He brings you the message. He gives you the gospel and he says, just turn to me. Come to me,
amen,
and I'll save you.
Amen.
But even with that, with what God has done, men still are fighting God.
Amen.
The true fearful response is that it draws you to his love, where he puts away fear. In other words, what he talks about here is something that you should fear, right?
Amen.
You should fear God.
Amen.
But the fear that you should have towards God is the fear that draws you to him.
Amen.
So that he can give you love.
Right.
In other words, it's not that you would run from God because of fear, but that fear would cause you to run to him in repentance.
Amen.
And we do just the opposite. You should fear God. You should fear because God is going to judge you for your sins. And you do deserve hell. That's the truth.
Amen.
and you should fear. But that fear shouldn't make you run away from him. Which is, it's a natural understanding, right? I mean, when you fear somebody, you run away from them. But no, the fear that you should have towards the Lord is a fear that draws you to him. Where he's saying, hey, turn around. No, you're going that way, and that's the way that's leading to destruction. But if you turn, you can come to me. And if you turn to him, you run to him in repentance, trusting in Jesus Christ. You humble yourself and hope in his mercy, then you find yourself in his love. And that casts out all fear. You don't have to live in fear anymore. I don't fear judgment anymore because I'm saved. By the grace of God, by the love of Jesus Christ, I'm saved.
Thank you, Lord.
By what Christ did on the cross. And I don't live in fear anymore. But if you're still in your sin, then you should fear God. And that fear should draw you to him. And listen to his words when he says, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart.
Amen.
Christ is the solution.
Amen.
And he is the great Savior. And he wants to save you today. He doesn't want to condemn you.
Thank you, Lord.
And his salvation can save any one of us.
Amen.
No matter how far you've gone,
you,
no matter what rebellion you're in, he says, turn, come to me,
amen,
and I'll save you.
Amen.
And that's the great promise we have. That's the great promise we preach. That's the great message we have.
Amen.
Salvation in Jesus Christ. So why don't, for us to finish today, let's go ahead and stand. We're going to stand and sing.
Amen.
Sing number 30 in the supplement.